Folks, hello, this is Alex. You're about to hear episode 96 of Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. 96, we are right in the middle of the membership drive leading up to episode 100. And very exciting news all around with that. We just hit a new goal, which is a game show tips workshop slash hangout slash storytelling time that I'm going to run in a few weeks. Full details are over at sifpod.fun. The next goal after that is also a bunch of fun. If we hit our next goal, I'll be able to commission digital art to celebrate episode 100. And that new art is going to be of a piece with existing art just for patrons. If you sign up now, you get that art immediately. Because in the run-up to episode 50, I had artist Adam Coford make a poster. I was able to commission a poster because of your support. So it was fun digital art of characters for all 50 first episodes of the podcast. I want to rehire him for a whole new poster for episodes 51 through 100, right? Massively build out and extend the artistic character universe for the show. What I just said makes a lot more sense if you have seen the first poster and if you're a patron. So also, if you become a patron, this whole plug just makes more sense. Very fun, less confusion. Anyway, that's the plug. I really hope we get that poster. I really hope you enjoy the first poster. And of course, enjoy episode 96. Car horns, known for being loud.
Famous for!
Nobody thinks much about them, so let's have some fun. Let's find out why car horns are secretly incredibly fascinating. Welcome to a whole new podcast episode, a podcast all about why being alive is more interesting than people think it is. My name is Alex Schmidt, and I'm not alone. My guests today are Diana McCollum and Eileen O'Connell. Diana is a returning guest from the past episode about rest areas. Diana is the co-creator of FromSuperheroes.com, and that is a whole slew of very funny internet pop culture stuff. They have the Text from Superheroes series. They have other online material as articles and everything else. They also have podcasts, and she co-hosts a fantastic one. It's called Talk from Superheroes. It's been nominated for 6 Canadian Podcast Awards. You can search that name or follow the show links to hear Talk from Superheroes. And then Eileen O'Connell is a wonderful comedy writer. You may have seen her work online at places like Funny or Die, or on stage at places like the Pack Theater in LA, or in actual newspapers. Like, she's done funny work at the Washington Post and the Chicago Tribune. Eileen and I are also both from Chicagoland, and so you'll hear some Chicago and Chicago area stuff come up. So glad to see her again and to have her on this one, and Diana too. Turned out great. Also, I've gathered all of our postal codes. I've used internet resources like native-land.ca to acknowledge that I recorded this on the traditional land of the Canarsie and Lenape peoples. Acknowledge Diana recorded this on the traditional land of the Haudenosaunee, Anishinaabek, Mississauga, and Wendat peoples. Acknowledge Eileen recorded this on the traditional land of the Gabrielino-Wartongva and Keech and Chumash peoples. And acknowledge that in all of our locations, Native people are very much still here. That feels worth doing on each episode. And today's episode is about car horns. Just one heads up with that topic, there will be a couple horn noises in the podcast. I will give you a warning before they come, and they're mainly there so you can get, like, the exact sonic quality and sonic experience of a horn. I know you know what they sound like in general, and I think it's a really fun topic for this show. Everyone knows about horns. Nobody thinks them through. So, please sit back, or sit in eager anticipation of funny stories about the awuga type of horn. Either way, here's this episode of Secretly Incredibly Fascinating with Diana McCollum and Eileen O'Connell. I'll be back after we wrap up. Talk to you then. Diana, Eileen, it is so good to have you both. And of course, I always start by asking guests their relationship to the topic or opinion of it. Either of you can start, but how do you feel about car horns?
I'm stressed by them personally. Don't like it. Don't like it when I encounter them on the road. Don't like it when I encounter it in television as a fictional car. Stresses me out every time.
Very fair. Yeah. And like TV ones, do you do the thing that I do where the characters who are sitting in the front two seats of the car are not paying enough attention to the road? Like the driver keeps looking at the other person for long chunks of time to talk to them.
Oh,
and
always.
Then I feel like
yes.
They're going to get in a wreck. Cool. That is that weighs on me every time they shoot a scene like that. I should get over it, but I don't. But yeah, stress from horns. That makes sense to me. Yeah.
I gotta say, I think they are the worst horn, easily. Because there's like a... They're easily the worst horn. There's a scale of horns, okay? You got like bike horns are like these like cute little guys, and they're like, oh, excuse me, I'm very small. You didn't see me, but I'm coming.
Yeah.
You got like train horns, and trains are like, I'm huge. I can't stop. I'm like, you need a horn.
Yeah, choo-choo.
Choo-choo, because you can't stop. And then cars are just like, yeah, we see you. Stop it. Just stop beeping at us. You're all the same size. You're everywhere. You're loud. And I have very little personal connection with horns. I actually think this is very funny what you keep having me on for, Alex, because I don't go in cars. So I don't go to rest stops, right. Which was my first episode. I don't go in cars. I don't have a license. So I have very little attachment, but I know they're loud and I don't like them.
That's a good outsider perspective.
I'm from the outside looking in on the car.
Yeah, because going in a bit, I was like, horns are definitely the most invasive part of other people driving if you are not driving at all. So I wonder how Diana feels about that, because that has to bleed in. None of us escape this feature of the car.
I also think as people who podcast, you're just like, please be quiet out there. Please. <Yes. laughs> You definitely don't need to be doing this.
I'm trying to be alone with my thoughts for the one period of time that I'm allotted, and you're honking at me.
Right, my solitude / having fun with folks. Mm-hmm. It's both.
I can't.
It's meditative.
I'm trying to cry, and this is impeding my therapeutic tears.
But yeah, so they're an invasive species, I'd say.
Yeah, I get that. So I live in Brooklyn now, and also we held on to our car from North Carolina, so we still drive. We're not just subway people, but I find that northeastern U.S. driving is the worst and chaotic and constant horn honking.
Really?
And then when we were in L.A., I felt like everybody was a professional. Everybody had like a reason for the crazy move they were doing. The honking was rare and infrequent and warranted. It was great. Maybe that's too rosy, but that was how I felt about it.
I would say since COVID, it's gotten worse in LA as far as, I mean, just in general in life also, obviously, but also the honking situation and the driving situation has gotten worse because people, their driving abilities was already very questionable. Therefore, their horn abilities was also questionable. And they kind of forgot what little they knew from like being inside so much. So it's just gotten way worse.
I imagine there was also like a brief time in COVID where like we all stopped going places, so there were fewer cars.
Yes.
And now I imagine drivers are mad that there's a lot of cars again.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
Exactly it.
If I'm from an outsider's perspective.
Thank you for your outsider perspective,
yes.
Looking in.
Just looking at the numbers and the stats, which I'm sure we'll get from Al.
Yeah, right.
Was less cars, now more cars, if you look at this chart I've made. So it was low, now it's high. So people are mad, and they beep the little beepy.
It is, because they're so conversational. Like, none of the sources I found were, like, solid enough to talk about. But I found a few articles online that talked about, like, the language of car horns. And it was, like, it was silly, but it was all, like, two little beeps means, hey, buddy, you know? And then, like, laying on the horn as you're mad, you know? And it is... I like it as a verbal thing, and I hadn't thought of it as something along with the whole rest of language and socializing that got a little bit harder with COVID.
It totally is. Like a little beep beep is like, hey, the light just turned green and you're either looking at your phone or you're grabbing an Altoid. But like a honk is like, hey, I hate you and your family and your ancestors and I hate your car.
Yeah.
Two little beeps is kind of cute. You're right. It is kind of just like, it's you like, I'm here to pick you up. Beep, beep. I'm out front.
Yeah.
Beep. And you're kind of like, oh, they're here. Beep, beep.
Mm-hmm. It's like in the song Aaron's Party where it's like, beep, beep, have a good time.
Of course. We all know Aaron's Party.
We all know Aaron's Party. We all listened to Aaron Carter when we were getting our braces tightened in 2002.
Okay, this wasn't... This was an Aaron Carter one. I'm more prone to the one where he beat Shaq at basketball myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's classic.
Aaron Carter had a illustrious young childhood.
An illustrious career singing about himself, mostly, which I admire.
Huh,
not me to be my own advocate.
I'm very excited. I'm hoping Alex is going to tell us who created car horns so we can not like that person.
Oh, yeah, please.
When we get into stuff.
Yeah, I pretty much found out. So, and I which, like, it's not, there's not a one definite inventor, but there's a couple key people. Yeah. And there's an extremely specific era. I think we can start to get into that stuff. And on every episode, our first fascinating thing about the topic is a quick set of fascinating numbers and statistics. This week, that's in a segment called Mean Mode Median, different ways to estimate your distributions. If your stats are problems, then I have solutions. View the chart below for volume and dilution. Mean Mode and Median.
Oh my God, Lin-Manuel Miranda, what are you doing here in this podcast? There are three of us, and now there's four, including you.
Guys, huge special guests.
God, what a find.
It's very kind of you. This is a little bit of Despacito from Mitch Vega. Aww. Thank you for submitting that, Mitch. We have a new name for this every week. Please make them as silly and wacky and bad as possible. Submit to SiftPod on Twitter or to SiftPod@gmail.com. I also would definitely welcome any Encanto or other Lin-Manuel suggestions.
Please.
Sure. Great.
I would. Yeah. I have no say in this, but I also welcome that.
I love listeners getting the power to make Alex sing anything.
It's been fun. Yeah. I think I've said it on past ones too. Like, this is not a fear factor. I hate this thing for me. It's enjoyable. Like, so keep it up. This is great. Yeah.
It's the one little joy he has in this small thing we called life.
Yeah. Look, you graduate high school. You're not in the musicals anymore. You know what I mean? Like, let's keep this train rolling. You know what I mean?
I have another chart here that musical numbers do drop as you leave high school. You are in far less, as you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is sad. Oh, man. Now I'm sad about how fewer musicals I'm in these days than I used to be.
Oh, no.
I was also in a lot of musicals.
Guys, community theater.
That's true. Yeah.
But COVID.
Fair. TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
TikTok is true. For theater kids. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Well, the first number here is a sound number. It is 110. And 110 is the standard decibel level for a car horn in the United States. And that's according to Lauren Vogelbaum of How Stuff Works. Also, that's not a legal requirement. That's just kind of what they're aiming for. But national law in the U.S. and national law in Canada is just that a road vehicle has to have a horn. And then there are state and local regulations for how loud it can be that are also pretty vague. Like, there's really not a lot of solid law in terms of how horns need to be.
That makes sense, because, like, you can hear people who have, like, custom horns. No, like, I feel like movies tell us they do. I've never actually met someone with a custom horn. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm not good at horns.
I think you're great at horns. I want that to be my horn.
Diana, get out of your custom vehicle. We need to start taping the podcast. Get back here.
I will not get out. I have a microphone in here. Do 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 do. Anyway, 110. How loud is that? Is that like leaf blower loud, I feel?
I ended up comparing it to long, long ago. I did an episode about emergency sirens, and apparently most emergency sirens are in that same range. They're 110 to 120. So
that don't seem like it should be fair. I think an emergency siren should be louder than your car horn. I don't think you should be at the same rate as the ambulance.
No, I'm not nearly as important. My Elantra isn't out saving lives.
Right.
If it was, you get the better horn.
Thank you. Yes.
Because also with custom horns, when I lived in the west side of LA, I would just, when we moved into the place, I started to hear a custom horn that was La Cucaracha. Like, it's La Cucaracha. La Cucaracha.
I think that's what I was trying to do earlier.
Yeah. Really? There you go. And after like the fifth or sixth time, I started making a point of running outside to try to see what it was. And it was like a fruit delivery truck. So that there was a regular La Cucaracha horn on my street to go to the corner store there. It was great. Really liked it.
So, like how an ice cream truck kind of has that's not a horn, that's just music they're playing, I guess.
Yeah, it's like this guy made the choice of like, I've parked to deliver the fruit, hit the horn, la cucaracha. Like, that was his deal. And,
Fruit's here, la cucaracha.
Yeah. And because it's like siren loud, I always heard it from my place. I couldn't get away from it, you know?
What's nice about that is you know that is not an ambulance. Same level as the ambulance, but it's la cucaracha. So you're like, I'm pretty sure we're safe.
It'd be very inappropriate if that was the ambulance.
Yeah, boy.
She's not breathing! La cucaracha! La cucaracha!
It might be a good way to revive me specifically, I'd say. If I was unconscious and they were like, we gotta wake her up, hit the horn, I'd be like, la cucaracha, I'm awake, I'm alive.
This can give anyone a pulse and their feet start tapping, you know? Yeah, sure. I get it.
Positive thoughts, guys. We're gonna say yes and to the world with our ambulance horns.
Well, and in terms of loudness, the next number is 200 feet, and 200 feet is about 60 meters. That's a common legal guideline for U.S. horn volume. You're supposed to be able to hear it from about 200 feet away. And CarAndDriver.com says California and a bunch of other states have that general guideline. And then also turns out in Canada, British Columbia has a guideline of 60 meters away. Some other provinces have something similar. But also most of those laws have that general hear it from this far guideline and then also have language about if the horn is too loud, if the horn is too irritating, that's not allowed. They're basically trying to give local authorities as much wiggle room as possible to tell someone to stop having a dumb horn, I think.
That makes sense. All right. So like, officer, I need it. And you're like, you don't need that horn. They should have to give you a different horn if they don't like your horn.
I like that.
They should have to carry a standard horn and be like, sorry, la cucaracha, here you go. No, that would be terrible. No, don't give them that power. I retract this all. They shouldn't be able to take the la cucaracha horn.
Yeah, it's like when businesses or transits say, we do have masks, so you have to wear one. Like we do have horns. You have to stop being weird. You have to take a normal horn, please.
Well, what's funny about this is, I apologize because we're not supposed to do research, but I did a quick thing because I'm like, what are horns like legally for in your car? Like, what do you need? Like, so I looked up a driver's manual. I'm like, I looked up the word horn and it's not in there. Like, there's cool. There's no point in your, like, driver's ed manual training when they're like, this is when you use the horn.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to remember Illinois driver's ed and if we talked about it.
I don't think we did.
I found one driver's manual that said you have to use it if you have a motorcycle because people can't see you because you're little. And then another one that said you have to use it if you're a tractor trailer because you're big and you can't see. So you got to beep a lot.
So if you can't see, either way. If you can't see or if you can't be seen, beep, beep. Have a good time.
But if you're medium sized, I could not find a manual that was like, this is when you use the horn.
Wow.
So I don't know why it matters what the sound level is if you never legally need it.
I think I just learned socially. Like, I don't think there was a part of the test that said do honking. I don't think there was training from my gym teacher who was the driver's ed teacher, but I remember at some point learning that the horn is not just rude. Like, it's for letting people know they're about to hit you or just like it's a useful signaling device. But when I was a kid, I just thought horns were rude, period. And now I get it.
Oh, you just thought they were rude. There was no happy beeps. No. Toot-toot.
Yeah, maybe.
Stop encouraging my horns. They're so bad.
No, they're great.
Yeah. We're going to get a like local radio style soundboard going by the end of this. It's going to be amazing. Of different homemade horns we can do.
I hope I accidentally swear later and you beat me out with one of my own horns. Show her. She's great at horns. So anyway, there doesn't appear to be a time where you're legally supposed to, but like definitely socially, you don't want to get hit by another car. You want them to move when there's a green.
And it's like fully illegal to not have one. Like the law says you absolutely have to have one. And then but then all the manuals and training are like, you'll figure it out. You'll understand.
That's what's weird, right? You legally have to have one and there's no time when you legally need to use one.
Yeah. And it's just like, this'll come up. Speaking of sound, the next number here is 1930. The year 1930.
Good year. That's... No.
Such a bad year.
It was a bad year. Like,
wait, no. I think that's like between the world wars.
1930 was like the 2020 of the 1900s.
Yeah. Everyone had just lost all their money. Oh, wow.
Oh, see, I'm thinking like you're between the world wars, though. But yeah, money's good, too. You want money.
You need to have peace or money. You can't have both.
Yeah, that's right.
Why can't we have both? Well, now I'm going to guess we also have car horns.
So they already had car horns, which we'll talk about. But 1930 is when car radios first became a relatively common feature. According to the Globe and Mail, there were precursors in the 1920s. They think the very first car radio was a custom job in Australia. But in 1930, the Galvin Manufacturing Corporation sold the first mass market car radio. It cost about the quarter of the price of a car to get one added, specifically a Ford Model A, so a cheaper car, but still. And when car radios were on the way, one of the first reactions to them was, this is unsafe because people won't be able to hear car horns. Like, they'll have their music up too loud and it'll interfere with car horns. We'll link a Lapham's Quarterly excerpt of a 1930 New York Times story where a local official said, music will make people miss a car horn sound and die in an accident. So no radios.
We showed them. So was there a lot of, like, did music back then have a lot of car horn sounds in it? Like, I feel like it's two very different sounds. I don't think the pop hits of 1930s were like, here's my car horn remix.
I think there's like one Gershwin song that has it. But I mainly think of like interstitial sound effects in rap music or Aaron Carter, I guess, having the car horn.
Or commercials, like commercials.
Commercials, love it. Yeah, on the radio.
I love car horns. Like if it's like accident attorney, call this, beep, beep. And always, I'm that old person who always thinks I'm being honked at and like, oh no, that was the commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, they still get you, huh?
They do.
I feel like in the 1930s, it would be more like radio serials because they do all the sound effects in the shows.
Yeah. Oh.
Because they didn't have TV yet. So you're probably like listening to your shows back in the day in your car. Listening to a Superman podcast, basically.
Local officials are like, drivers will think they're pursued by the shadow. So we can't have radios. Forget it. The shadow will distract them. That's amazing.
Oh, no, the gray ghost, and you swerve. Oops.
Yeah, this was a whole fear. And then next number is 2021. Famous year, 2021. That's when...
I remember that year.
Yeah.
Also bad.
Not great, no.
2021 is when India's Minister for Transportation for the whole country publicly suggested replacing Indian car horns with devices that make a musical instrument sound, like a pleasant musical instrument noise instead of a car horn.
All right, so we're all going to La Cucaracha in India.
Mm-hmm.
But even, like, not just tunes, this was Minister Nitin Gadkari. He was presiding over a highway inauguration ceremony last October in 2021. And he said that he was, quote, studying this and planning soon to make a law that all vehicle horns should produce pleasant sounds like those of the flute, tabla, violin, mouth organ, and harmonium, end quote.
I want a guitar riff. Like,
it's got to be soothing. No, it's got to be soothing guitar riffs.
I want everyone on the road to know that I'm really cool.
I want the Power Rangers guitar riff solo.
Yes!
just in your car, like, Eileen is driving. Like, just really getting into it, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Go, go, Eileen. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
I mean, I genuinely love this and think it should happen, though. Like, because it is impossible to have road rage if your horn is a flute.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that up there. You want to be mad at someone and you want to make more anger in the world, but your horn's a flute. So sorry, it's impossible.
Can't stay mad.
Yeah. It's not even in the family of like French horn or trumpet. You know, it's not even in the musical horns. It's the woodwinds.
It's a wind instrument.
Yeah.
It's just your breath in a tube. That's all it is.
And also, this guy also said he wanted to do away with police and ambulance sirens and make them more agreeable, do a different sound there. But I can't find any information on this getting drafted as a law or getting any traction or anything. So I think it didn't go anywhere. But he definitely publicly did an announcement where he was like, while we're opening this highway, let me just say horns, forget it. Doing something else.
I actually feel like there's a scientific basis for this, though, because we did a pilot project similar here in Toronto, and there was like a study that said people will do less crimes and be less angry when like classical music is playing. There's constantly classical music playing at one of the subway stops here in Toronto, and there's like never been a crime there since then. Like no one will rob you if like Beethoven is playing because it's too classy, kind of. Like it makes you, the vibes are off.
Oh my God, like they have gas stations in LA that play classical music, and now I'm wondering if that is why.
I just thought I was fancy in Burbank. I'm guessing that is absolutely the reason, but Burbank, you know, classically fancy.
Yeah. Thank you, yes. I take all the credit.
So yeah, I think if your horn can only make nice sounds, it does like lower anger levels, it keeps people from being jerks.
I have sort of kind of experienced it with our car is specifically a Honda Fit, which is a small car, and the horn is not angry. Like, I can't use the horn to really express anger. Like, I can lean on it for a long time, but I know it won't floor anybody. And so I think it reduces the amount that I want to use it for, like, fury, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Knowing you will install no fear in someone with your horn will be like,
yeah,
you're going to sound like Diana's voice if you use your horn. It's going to be beep.
Got another one.
It's going to sound like
another one. Well, and the next number here is easy to remember. It's zero. Got zero. That is the number of horns in a NASCAR racing vehicle.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it turns
out
they're
not stuck in traffic. Traffic's always moving.
That's true, yeah.
But also, I feel like horns are to be like, I want to pass you, but they all want to pass.
Mm-hmm. They would just be honking it the whole time.
It would be too loud, frankly. I want a nice, quiet NASCAR race. Mm-hmm.
Like they're all surprised the road's busy. Like, how is everybody out here at the same time? That's weird. Like they were born yesterday.
It's like we all left the house at the same time. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to have a horn? Because if you're one guy with a horn, that's going to mess everyone up.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure if there's any rules about it. What I read said that they mainly don't have horns for the reason we just said, why, and then also it would be extra weight if they put a horn in the car. And these stock cars are like so NASA style, cut down to the absolute essentials.
Yeah, like they don't even have like doors that open, right? You have to like go in through
a
window or something. I don't know a lot about NASCAR.
I think you're right. Yeah, like it's missing.
Sometimes observe things quietly and then remember them for later in podcasts.
But they do like a move into it because it is truly missing all the basic car amenities, because that could weigh one more gram or whatever. So forget it.
I also doubt they could hear because they have like headphones and a helmet on, don't they? Or I could also be wrong.
Yeah, they do. And also I was looking at fansided.com for some of this. Apparently another reason they don't have horns is they will bump each other if they want to pass or want to mess with the other guy. So like, unlike our regular driving, they'll just run into each other's fenders in a signaling way.
Maybe get a horn.
Yeah.
Be safer.
Maybe just, you know what? I'm coming back around if that's the alternative. A little bump when you're going 500 miles per hour, or however fast you're going.
Those cars are so covered in ads, the horn could be another sponsorship. Like, it just shouts a brand name.
Wonder Bread!
Yeah.
Aflac!
M&M's, 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 M&M's. Just try to get around.
Just making the other driver hungry. You're like, M&M's.
And there's one more number here before the takeaways. The next number is 2021. We're back to that year.
Oh, we're back to the, oh my God, throwback.
Jumping everywhere.
That is the most recent guidance I could find for whether you should honk your car horn at a bear.
Oh.
If you're driving, if a bear is approaching your car.
Is the bear alone, or is the bear also driving a car?
And is it a regular car or a NASCAR? You really got to break all these down.
The bear's horn is just like salmon, berries, like...
Sleep.
Bear
sleep.
Products. Yeah.
Sleep. Honey.
Oh, honey's a good one. Yeah. Do we beep so the bear?
Yeah.
So this is National Geographic. They did a piece last year, which we'll link, and it's about the general practice of how to go to a U.S. national park and see the big, cool animals without leaving your car. Like, what are the spots you can drive through and see bison and elk and stuff? And they talked to National Park Service Public Affairs Specialist Kathy Cupper. She said that if a bear approaches or touches your car, quote, it is recommended to honk the horn and safely drive away to discourage this behavior, end quote. So you should honk at a bear. You don't, like, stay silent and play dead or something. You try to scare it away.
I love this. Add it to the driver's manuals. One official time you're supposed to use your horn.
Yes.
Excellent. Vindicated.
That's kind of the most useful horn guidance I've ever, like, received versus my driving education. Yeah, sure. Like,
I like that it's a hard yes.
Yeah, do it.
Beep at the bear.
And they also, if you want to see bears from the road, they say Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. That's the best U.S.
Let's
national
go.
Park. So the three Hot of us, we slide into a NASCAR, drive there fast, and then we're going to check it out. Yeah.
What a... I mean, we're going to need a minute. I'm in Canada, you guys. I got to cross some borders. And I also have my own bears. Not to brag, but...
Okay. Oh, wow.
We got bears up here. So I was genuinely listening for actual advice. I've seen them and I'll see more.
Next thing here is a big trumpet sound for a big takeaway. Before that, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Linda, and there's one more number straight into the first takeaway. Yet another year, it is 1908. And 1908 is the year when inventor Miller Reese Hutchison patented a device called the klaxon. And that brings us into takeaway number one. The klaxon was one of the first popular car horns before it became an alarm system and a sound effect. I don't know if everybody knows a klaxon noise. It's that, like, awooga, like that funny, you know. Now we're talking.
Can I get that one more time, Alex?
Oh, you mean a...
One more time?
A wooga. You know?
Okay, the sound of being sexually harassed is the sound of the classic.
Oh, I thought it was like the sound of seeing a hunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the sound.
Right.
Hello, nurse.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's running out of gas.
The cars just made that sound at first. Okay.
Yeah, as longtime listeners know, I'm a wolf wearing a suit and a hat and walking on my hind legs. And yeah.
All checks out. Yeah. I'm so glad that you didn't get the sounds before we started. Like you said, yeah. You might. This is way better.
Because also, this sound.
But also, I knew what you meant exactly. Well done.
Oh, good. Yeah. Because it's like, it stayed with us as a comedy sound effect and then separately as an alarm system, especially for like submarines. But for multiple decades, it was one of the main car horns. And with this particular sound, I did find an example, and maybe I'll cut it in here. I'll see how loud it is. But the example I found was so loud, I think it might be like really unpleasant for the listener. So if I got a pleasant level of it, you will hear it here. And great, you might have heard it, I don't know. Because it's really loud, it turns out. But that was how they used to be.
So it was really loud, it was really long, it was a little harassy, and people were worried they wouldn't hear this over a radio a few years later.
That's part of what's wild about that fear, yeah.
Seems intrusive.
Society had the craziest car horns, and they were like, how will they hear it over, like, a piano on the radio? Like, I think they'll hear it. But and there's a couple sources for this section. There's a How Stuff Works video by Lauren Vogelbach, a Technology Connections video by Alec Watson, a piece for Car and Driver by Nick Kershevsky, and then a book, it's just called Car, but it's by Gregory Votolato, who's a lecturer at the Victoria and Albert Museum and teaches design. This is sort of the origin of all car horns, including the klaxon.
I love the way you're pronouncing this, the klaxon, like there's also a klax off.
Yeah.
Klax off.
And I didn't look up any clips of anyone saying it. I think that's how it's pronounced, but maybe I'm doing it crazy.
I feel like it's like a softer X, like a klaxon, but I like klaxon.
Yeah.
I want to make it like a little more elegant and be like klaxon.
Klaxion.
Hey, I quickly Googled, and Google had a little pronunciation thing. It is definitely klaxon. I have been saying it strange for my entire life. Thank you for checking.
I was genuinely enamored, not gonna lie.
Klaxon has been me on the streets all the time. It's
you
been
just blend
chaos.
It on like your Chicago accent. Like that's just how we say it in the Midwest.
Me and Eileen, we're going to go to Portillo's later. We're going to say klaxon to people.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be great.
And they're going to be like, what is that? And then they'll be like, you number 9, looking fine. Because they make rhymes with your numbers when you get a hot dog.
I love it. Yes, I do.
This is some good Chicago specifics.
Yeah. So the klaxon, I guess that's how they say it.
No, go back to the old way.
Back to before.
No, I'll get tweets.
That's engagement. That's free engagement.
We all know how the socials work.
Right, do stuff intentionally wrong, and then your numbers go up, yeah.
That is what happens,
That's really
though.
What happens, yeah.
I used to be told, like, oh, you know, like, put the comma in a wrong spot, because people will correct it. I'll be like, okay, yeah. It's 2014.
I run a nerd website. I get so many tweets, you guys. The nerds don't like it when you make a mistake.
They don't, but then they're just pawns in our quest for more engagement.
It's true.
But the klaxon is one of the two early, really popular car horns. And Car and Driver talked to Matt Anderson, who is the curator for transportation at the Henry Ford Museum in Michigan. And he says, like, early on in the 1880s, 1890s, some cars had air horns, like that bulb horn you squeeze, and it's a little bulb, you know. And then I guess some of them had horns connected to the exhaust system. Like it would cut into the exhaust pipe and shoot air through a noisemaker, and it sounded sort of like a train whistle. But
imagining confetti coming out with it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm picturing like the 60s Batmobile for some reason. Fire exhausts that make sound. But I'm always thinking of the 1960s Batmobile, so that's on me.
Like, the U.S. and Canada for the past, I don't know, 120, 130 years have generated some really funny vehicles. Good job, these countries. There are so many wacky vehicles we did. It's the best. Like, we invent a superhero. Obviously, he has a wild and crazy car. Like, duh. That's the next step. Great.
Yeah. He's dressed like a bat. His car's dressed like a bat.
Of course. Yeah.
Naturally.
But hey, aren't bats mainly flying? Shut up. It's a car. He has a car. That's his main thing.
He's rich and he didn't go to therapy.
Yeah.
He also has a plane shaped like a bat, so don't worry about it.
His friend is named after a bird, but doesn't dress like a bird.
Yeah.
That's true. Spider-Man had a Jeep for a while in the comics.
That's right.
Spider-Man had a Jeep?
Yeah, I think it was just so they could sell some plastic Jeeps. But
it's definitely
he
why.
Would like... Yeah, it could, like, stick to walls as well, but it was, like, very much like, don't you just go faster than this Jeep most of the time? He's like, I do. I do go faster than this Jeep. I'm Spider-Man.
Well, and so in like, the start of the 1900s, most cars have batteries, so they have electrical systems. And then we really get two major car horns. In 1910, there's a British inventor named Oliver Lucas. He's credited with inventing a relatively simple electric car horn that is pretty similar to what we have today. But 1910, that was that. 2 years earlier, in 1908, Miller Rees Hutchinson patents the klaxon. The name comes from the Greek language word for "I shriek." That's where they got that name. And it was a brand name for selling these klaxons to people. And a lot of cars didn't have a standard horn or gave you options as like it's one of the accessories you pick when you're setting up, like finalizing your car. And a lot of people picked klaxons. So a lot of like 1910s, 20s, 30s cars have that awooga, like that very funny old sounding horn, because that was one of the main ones. It was that or kind of a similar to the modern standard one. Those were the main options.
I can't believe that every movie that has a car that makes that sound is historically accurate. That is just crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's always used to such comedic effect. Now I want to see a really serious period piece movie that has the funny car horn sound.
Oh. Like, I guess you could just take, before they get on the ship in Titanic, like when they pull up, just edit in a bunch of awoogas. Like, why not? That feels right.
I'm gonna put them in at the end when they get saved, when it's really sad.
I'm gonna put it in the middle when they have their sex scene in the car. Oh, there is a car!
Like, you found the only car on the Titanic. Like, oh, look it up.
Yeah.
James Cameron, you thought your movie was perfect, but wait till you hear this. Awooga.
Basically no moment of that movie that shouldn't have one, you know? I think the whole thing.
Great point. There's cars in the hold.
Draw me like one of your French girls. Awooga.
Yeah.
Oh, is that an iceberg? Awooga. Beep, 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 beep.
A woman's heart is an ocean of secrets. Awooga.
I'm Billy Zane. I have to leave. Awooga. I like finding out which we all think are the pivotal moments of Titanic. Pretty easy edit.
And it, you know, the Titanic, it truly is of this era. There's a thing where just car buying massively spikes right after both these types of horns roll out, like klaxons 1908, regular horns 1910. And according to Gregory Vodolato's book, car sales truly massively spiked in the U.S. Apparently, in 1900, there were 8,000 cars registered in the U.S., and 12 years later, there were 1 million.
Wow!
So from 8,000 to 1 million. So basically, everybody's first car purchase was in the klaxon era. Like, it was, oh, that's a horn, sure. Like, they would just do it, even though it was kind of wacky and crazy.
Wow! That's just so many, so fast. So many dudes were like, I just gotta... a wooga my way in through the world.
Yeah, and a lot of it's Henry Ford. A lot of it's him rolling out the, I was about to call it the iPhone of cars, but you know what I mean. Like, the, everyone suddenly bought it and made it part of their lives.
That's accurate.
But just to be able to make that many in like a year is what's wild.
Yeah.
Not even just purchasing, but because they're big. This isn't like making a tiny little iPhone.
That's true.
Cars are big.
Cars are big. They're big. I don't know if you've seen a car, but they're pretty big.
Have you seen a car?
That's true.
It's not small.
They're
going to
amaze
big.
You. It's bigger than an iPhone.
And this also, this happened in other countries too, I guess from 1904 to 1910, so just 6 years, the number of British cars quadrupled. And then also, his book actually says that at the turn of the century, France was the biggest car maker in the world because Ford hadn't gotten going yet. And France massively ramped up production. Like, just this first decade or two of the century, everybody was like, I'm getting a car. Great.
I'm getting that horn.
Yeah.
I guess there's a car attached to it. I just want that horn.
And Matt Anderson from the Ford Museum, he says that horns were mainly seen as a politeness item. Like, you were expected to honk your horn if you were coming up to pedestrians to let them know, hey, a car is coming. So it was a like, well met, sir. Like, kind of, I have a horn.
A good day.
Yeah.
Now that would be a great horn sound.
Oh, yeah.
Good day.
Good day.
With like the jitteriness as well. Not even like a clean take. Good day.
Like, the first wax cylinder ever invented was used to record it. So we can't get another take. That's it. That's what we got.
Only had the
cut,
one.
Cut, print.
I also love the idea that a pedestrian didn't see a car in like 1908. Like, there's nothing else on the road and it's loud as hell. You did not need a politeness horn.
They're just like standing there and be like, is that a horse or a car? And then beep, beep, like, oh, it's a car.
A wooga.
A wooga. Good day.
Yeah, nothing else in the world made noise yet back then.
Yeah.
Like, it's birds and cars. It's 1908. I'm sorry. There's no other sounds.
Yeah. Those are the only two.
Kind of, yeah.
You wake up and you can hear a bird or you can hear a car.
Yeah. I'm going to link a article from Untapped New York because they have like a journal account of what 1890s New York City was like. And they say it was a lot quieter on the streets because there was some horse noises and that was about it.
Yeah, man. Let's go back. Let's all, or like, make it all like NASCAR. Get rid of the horns, you know, pull them out. Clearly, we don't need them unless you meet a bear.
Uh-huh.
Unless you meet a bear.
Right, for bears, yeah.
only for bears.
And it could be behind a little, like, break in case of bear glass. That's where we'll put the horns. And the horns are now bears only.
I'm thinking basically every car I've seen or had, the horn symbol is a little bugle. Picture, like, it's a picture of a trumpet kind of thing, but like, I wish it was a bear approaching a car, like, that would be amazing.
You look down, you're like, bear. salmon.
Yeah. Well, and then in the 1920s and 30s, car drivers end up settling on the sort of regular electric car horn, I'll call it, the not klaxon one. And apparently that's pretty similar to what we have today. How Stuff Works calls it an electromechanical machine. The key part is a steel diaphragm, like a flat piece of steel. And with electricity, your car makes that, get a charge through it, there's a magnetic field, and then the diaphragm oscillates, it moves back and forth very quickly. And that creates a noise. It's pretty hard to describe as audio. I'm going to link pictures and diagrams of this. But that basic mechanic was those sort of quote-unquote regular electric car horns. And one reason that overtook klaxons is that klaxons were a diaphragm getting struck by teeth on a rotating wheel with another motor attached to it. And there were just a lot more parts. And so between that and the crazy noise, people moved away from klaxons after a while. That's why they're not on all the cars today.
I'm actually embarrassed to admit this, but I actually kind of always thought car horns were, I had no idea they were electric powered. I really thought you were just like beeping a horn, like when you hold like a clown horn and you're like beep beep.
Oh yeah.
I thought you were genuinely just Too many sounds. I gotta pick one. But I thought you were making the horn sound like when you press a real horn.
If you made me guess before I researched this podcast episode, I might have guessed that. Like I didn't really know. Yeah.
Okay.
But it turns out it's primarily electrical, and also if your horn ever stops working, the chief reason is usually some kind of electrical system not coming together anymore or short circuiting or something. Yeah.
So as a car outsider, if your battery's dead, you have no horn?
Yeah, it should be. Because apparently other than the starter, your horn takes the most electricity out of any electric-based action that like a combustion car does.
Really?
Yeah, according to How Stuff Works.
Damn. Wow. That feels like when you find out like an app you don't use is draining your phone and you're like, what are you doing using all that energy in the background?
How dare you?
Yeah.
I assumed it was the brakes that were causing all this power.
Right. Yeah, unless one of the mechanical metal parts is broken, it's an electrical thing is usually why a horn stops working. But you really think it's like one of those bike bulb horns or something if you are forced to describe it, which we're not usually. Yeah.
Maybe because, as you said, also there is a picture of a bugle on there that I could just use without electricity.
Yeah.
So it's a misleading image.
Yeah, it's very old fashioned. It's like a Civil War bugle. I don't know why.
It's like how, like, if you're saving something on a modern computer, it's still like a floppy disk, symbol they had to press. Like, this isn't. What is this?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just max out on what a symbol can be.
There's nothing else.
We just peaked.
Yeah. Well, and as far as old things, like klaxons are still available, and Alec Watson's video, it's a great channel, it's called Technology Connections. He demonstrates, like, he shows the housing and mechanism of a regular horn and then shows a klaxon one. He tells you in the video, like, by the way, I adjusted the levels on everything because the klaxon was way louder than the rest of this stuff. It's really unpleasant. But also you can just buy one, and he said it was also the cheapest one he bought for the video because they're still available. They still have applications, especially on submarines or for other alerts. You'll hear a klaxon type sound repeatedly if a submarine is diving or surfacing. You know,
most
of us do not experience this, but they are still used for stuff. Yeah,
constantly on a submarine. Right. Don't you worry.
Right, you don't drive, but
I'm a water based traveler. I don't have a car, but I have a submarine. Don't you worry.
You know, also, when I say submarine, I mean like Navy ones, but coming back to Titanic, again, when they are searching underneath the water.
Thank you. It all comes back to Titanic.
This could also be an application, yeah. Because also and I think I only ever saw it written, which is why I've been saying it strangely forever, but I learned the word klaxon from Star Trek, because that's what they call alarm on the bridge of the first ship, and then there are the other different sounds. Like, they're taking it from this like military alert application of what used to be a car horn.
I've actually been trying to figure out why I even knew the word klaxon, and Star Trek makes a lot of sense. Because
I'm going on that same journey as you in my brain right now.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, oh, that's why.
I was leaning towards Stargate, though. I think they also might have a klaxon because they're always like, gate room, stuff's happening.
I should know this, but I don't at the top of my head.
Yeah, you should know Stargate lore.
I should know it.
Yeah.
My job is to know these things, people, Pluto TV.
I've never seen Stargate, but they're in those military outfits, right? So it's probably a military klaxon kind of thing. Makes sense. Yeah.
It's very military based. I also learned the word chevron from Stargate. They use that word a lot for some reason.
Oh, for like insignias of rank? Like,
yeah, but also the things on the Stargate are called chevrons.
Yeah, they'll be like, chevrons are locked. And I'm like, okay.
They're so locked.
They're so locked.
Whenever they get locked, I get amped. Like, the adventure's about to start when the chevrons are locked.
That reason.
And the klaxons. Oh.
That use of chevron is like 1,000% sillier than I expected. That's amazing. It's really fun.
You gotta lock 7 chevrons or the gate's not gonna open, Alex.
Alex, are you paying attention, Alex?
Are you writing this down? It's secretly incredibly fascinating. I don't know if you know.
And also with other loud horns, like, the only other thing really to say about this car horn evolution is that it's pretty separate from air horns. because air horns are actually on a bunch of other vehicles, in particular most trucks, most buses, most trains, most like boats and lighthouses are all different kinds of air horns. So a car horn's actually like a little bit unique in the big vehicle world for horns.
Genuine question, which one's louder? Because I kind of want to lean towards car. But I think the big one should be louder.
I would think an air horn is, but I don't actually know, yeah. Okay. And especially because air horns can be such different sizes, car horns are all pretty much that one little thing, yeah.
That makes sense. Trains are big.
Yeah. I love that story before, too, where you're saying, like, kind of like, oh, a train has no choice. Of course it's honking. Like, it's just on rails. It has no free will. A car can turn.
The train is like, it takes me 20 minutes to stop. You gotta move. Yeah. I cannot be the one who stops in this scenario. So, yeah, you better have the best horn.
And everyone's like, thank you, train. You are doing your job. Yeah.
No one's ever mad at a train. Love that for trains.
Lynn, and there's only one other big takeaway for the main episode. Then we'll have bonus feature stuff about horns. But here we go. Takeaway number two. Many modern car horns are made of two horns that play a musical interval.
Go on.
And it's the same sources as before. Until researching this, like, I just thought it was one sound, but it turns out most car horns, it's two entire separate horn devices, and they are set up to play different notes in usually a minor third.
Is there a major lift? Or... but okay, I can't really picture what's happening. So, like, the sound I hear is two sounds mixed together.
Yeah, and they're close enough and mixed enough that we just don't detect it really, but it's one of the reasons a horn catches our ear. That we notice it more. Yeah, here, I'll do this for people later when I edit. I'm going to put in a couple horn sounds. So they're not around you. Here comes a couple horn sounds.
So nice. Here's how the horn sounds on a 2020 Aston Martin Vantage. Pretty solid, just like I expected it to be. Let's see how the horn sounds on the G63 AMG here. Wow, that's pretty powerful. It's actually really loud. I don't know if you can hear it. Pretty solid.
Great. So you heard a couple horn sounds. If you're anything like me, you heard that and it was still kind of hard to detect the two notes. But there are two notes in there.
Now let's hear how the horn sounds on the 2021 Lexus LC500 convertible. Hear how the horn sounds on the 2020 Acura NSX. Pretty solid. Love it.
Folks, we'll have this link. That's a YouTube channel called Omar Drives, and he does car videos. And then also, I think every time he tested a car for the entire year of 2020, he also got a little clip of what the horn is like. So if you just want to hear a series of new car horns, you can do that. Like, some of them, if I'm listening really hard, I feel like I can hear an interval, but it's pretty blended. It's not super obvious.
I think the second one, I was like, yeah, that's two sounds. But I never would have said that until you told me stuff. Maybe if, like, one sound breaks, it's, like, backup sounds in there.
Yeah, I couldn't find other reasons for this, but that seems like it would be one reason. Yeah, because you still have some sound coming out of your car. This is Alec Watson said that the most common interval is a minor third because it's a little bit irritating, and that's part of what catches your ear when you hear this. And that interval is also popular in the world of sirens. If you've ever heard a European two-tone siren, where it's like,
best siren.
Yeah. And I love it in, like, Bourne movies and stuff, you know? Like, it's fun. But it turns out that is also a similar interval. And so that siren is also catching your ear the same way.
Cool. I actually just also really liked that guy's attitude about horns. He was very stoked about every single one of those. And I wish I loved anything as much as that.
Yeah, maybe
it's just him. I'm like looking up his. I'm like, what's this man's entire online portfolio?
You know, when I put that clip in, I was gonna cut out him talking. I'm gonna leave it in for the couple of horns. He loves it.
It makes it so much better. Yeah. He's never heard a horn he didn't like. It's so far. I only got a minute in. It's a 5-minute video, which is crazy. It's wild how long that video was.
All of 2020. It was like, these are the horns, folks. Yeah, it's a really good attitude. Yeah.
Omar, I'm proud of you, wherever you are.
Me too.
This is the best thing we've learned about horns today, that Omar loves them and that he's got a whole career based around horns. Excellent. I'm starting to turn around on horns now, honestly.
Yeah. Omar brought us all together as a society. That's great.
Omar Drives. I choose to believe that Drives is his actual last name.
He was born for this.
Yeah, now I'm imagining he's Batman, like he grew up at Drives Manor and like had to take on the mantle of driving.
Batman's last name isn't Batman.
Yeah, that's true. Doesn't make any sense.
That's a big giveaway. Like, I figured out who this Batman guy is.
Yeah, it's probably Bruce
the
Batman.
Guy's last name is Batman.
Folks, that is the main episode for this week. My thanks to Diana McCullum and Eileen O'Connell for really leaning into the noises with me, as I was. Anyway, I said that's the main episode because there is more secretly incredibly fascinating stuff available to you right now. If you support this show on Patreon.com. Patrons get a bonus show every week where we explore one obviously incredibly fascinating story related to the main episode. This week's bonus topic is the surprising future of car horns. Car horns may be going away. That's the future. Visit sifpod.fun for that bonus show, for a library of almost 8 dozen other bonus shows, and to back this entire podcast operation. And thank you for exploring car horns with us. Here's one more run through the big takeaways. Takeaway number one, the klaxon was one of the first popular car horns before it became an alarm system and sound effect. Takeaway number two, many modern car horns are made of two horns that play a musical interval. And then tons of bonus stuff about race cars, angry bears, air horns, and the surprisingly kind of made up laws governing car horns.
Love it.
Those are the takeaways. Also, please follow my guests. They're great. Diana McCullum is the co-creator of FromSuperheroes.com, and she's the co-host of the Talk From Superheroes podcast, which is just great. Funny, pop culture, enjoyable podcasting. It's been nominated for 6 Canadian Podcast Awards. That site and podcast are linked in the episode links. Diana is also at Words of Diana on Twitter. And then Eileen O'Connell is at the letter I underscore lean, L-E-A-N. At I underscore L-E-A-N. Very funny Twitter handle. And very funny writer. You can follow her link tree and the rest of her links on Twitter to see all kinds of stuff she's done. I'm going to link a few highlights, but really glad to have her on the show. Just great. Many research sources this week. Here are some key ones. A lot of videos were very handy this week, in particular a How Stuff Works video by Lauren Vogelbach and a Technology Connections video by Alec Watson. I also leaned on a book called Car that is by Gregory Votolato. He is a lecturer at the Victoria and Albert Museum and a design teacher at the Royal College of Art in London. Find those and many more sources in this episode's links at sifpod.fun. And beyond all that, our theme music is Unbroken Unshaven by the Budos Band. Our show logo is by artist Burton Durand. Special thanks to Chris Souza for audio mastering on this episode. Extra, extra special thanks go to our patrons. I hope you love this week's bonus show. And thank you to all our listeners. I'm thrilled to say we will be back next week with more secretly incredibly fascinating. So how about that? Talk to you then.